السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Huzur says, today with the grace of Allah the Almighty, we have gathered here to celebrate Eid al-Adhiya. In our countries, in India, Pakistan, this is also called the Eid of Sacrifice, Eid of Qurban. But if we reflect, although it is called the Eid of Sacrifice, even Eid al-Fitr is also an Eid of Sacrifice, because before celebrating that, in accordance to the guidelines given by Allah the Almighty and to win His pleasure for a full month, a person holds oneself away from even the lawful things, restrains from indulging in those, and sacrifices a lot of the rights of oneself and improving the standards of one's worship. A person is seeking Allah's help to raise his standards of sacrifice. These people, they get up in the middle of the night and cry to Allah, while these are the people who seldom even get up in time for Fajr prayers. So at the end of that month, which is called the month of Ramadan, at the end of that, because of that period of sacrifice, Allah has admonished that you celebrate, that is, you wear good clothes, all gather together and express your gratitude to Allah the Almighty in your worship. So on that day, when these people had sacrificed even their personal indulgences, food, drink, they had given up for a time of the day, according to various weather conditions, it can be 8 to 10 hours, or is variable, and then they keep their nights awake. Then, because of this sacrifice in the lives of the believers, there are those revolutions in the lives of these believers that come about, which bring them closer to Allah the Almighty, and they enter a new world, and they get into the habit of sacrificing their inner selves, there are those people as well who, to better themselves, might not have done it as a believer should have done. Even then, at the end of that month, they are also celebrating the Eid like the ones who had offered the sacrifice during the month. In any case, the Eid for those people who have not fulfilled the demands of sacrifice is only a festival, while the real Eid belongs to those people who had understood the philosophy of sacrifice and went through that month offering that sacrifice and then celebrate. In any case, Zuhr says, today's Eid is called the Eid of Sacrifice. So I had mentioned that in passing, that Eid al-Fitr is also an Eid of sacrifice, but that is a personal sacrifice that you go through. And Eid al-Adhiya is an Eid where it is a collective sacrifice, and the being who became symbolic, or some people who were the reasons for this celebration, their aim was also to bring about a revolution of a large scale. The same way as Eid al-Fitr is really for those people who had made that sacrifice of their personal nature during that month, the same way the expression of that happiness comes in the celebration, the same way the real Eid belongs to those people who have tried to understand the sacrifice of Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hadrat Hajra alayhi salam. May Allah give them high status. The spirit of sacrifice behind their actions is to be understood only when you understand that. Then you will have the real Eid, real celebration. Otherwise, just sacrificing cattle and sheep and goats, majority of the people who do that are only expressing their wealth, their ability to do that. Then they distribute the meat amongst people. They have big parties, big dinner parties. That is not the aim of the sacrifice. What is the aim of sacrificing those animals? Is Islam served by sacrificing those animals? What is the role of these sacrifices in the progress of Islam? Which service cannot be provided without the slaughter of these animals? If one was to say that the aim is that the poor people get some meat, then in 1 year, if a poor person eats some meat, the rest of the year you do not pay any attention to looking after the needs of that poor person, what high status of action is that? There are many countries where there is no one that you can distribute the meat to, or who's in need of that meat, or otherwise the meat is so much that it becomes so difficult to dispose it off. At the time of Hajj, the sacrifices are so difficult for them to look after that meat, although they do pack it and send it to poor countries. But how many poor are taken care of through that sacrifice? I have lived in Africa as well and seen that there are poor people, and those poor people remain poor even because of that Eid. In Pakistan as well, there are so many people who go to bed hungry every night. So although these mountains of meat, they are there, but they cannot take care of the hunger of the poor. Yes, dear, near this Eid time, the people who have this trade and business of selling those cattle and goats and sheep, they get the prices that they demand. And people who want to make those sacrifices, sometimes just to show off, they will buy those very, very pricey animals. At the time of Eid, this apparent slaughter of animals, sacrifice that is done, this actually should draw our attention to the fact that the revolution for which we were admonished to make this sacrifice of animals, in memory of which incident, that was not only that Hadrat Ismail alayhi salam escaped being slaughtered. Behind that, you have to look at the spirit which worked behind that. The spirit of that sacrifice, or that attempted sacrifice, this is not only the show of happiness that Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was saved from slaughter, and then we slaughter these animals and then we have this big celebration and wear good clothes and eat good food. As a matter of fact, in line with the directives given to us by Allah the Almighty, we must turn our attention to fulfilling the directives of Allah, to draw closer to Allah, to win His pleasure. Because every directive that Islam has given us has an aim behind it. When it is said, you make that sacrifice, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, divide it into three. One portion send to the poor, one for your relatives, and then one for yourself. This is so that you will remember that it is not only your own rights, it is also the rights of your relatives that you must fulfill. Then the poor have rights over you, which it is essential for you to fulfill. These rights will have to be then fulfilled in general terms, in other days as well, in happiness and in sorrow. A rich man sometimes does not think of these things, that he has to fulfill the rights of the poor. Only at the time of maybe his personal joy, he spends to make a show of things. But most people are not focused on fulfilling the rights of others. So here, the lesson that you have to learn is that this sacrifice you are making in memory of that great sacrifice which Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had offered, who was the father of prophets, your sacrifice will only be then deemed sacrifice if you will then remember to fulfill the rights of the poor and deprived circles around you. Allah has said that take care of the needs and the hunger of people around you. Allah the Almighty has said, وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ, that people who are distant from Allah the Almighty, they do not themselves indulge in helping the poor, and neither do they ask other people, encourage other people to do that. So this is a need which has to be fulfilled throughout the year. Not that only once in the year you feed the poor with the meat. Although the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said that out of your sacrifice you give one part, about one third, to the poor, so that your own joy does not make you distant from the joys of the poor. So when you make a sacrifice, remember that one third belongs to the poor. In zakat as well, for a rich man, there is a ratio, there are directives, there are conditions that a person must pay. This is a defined ratio. The same way there is the charity and alms that has been left to you, that whatever easily you can give, you do that. But here at the time of sacrifice of an animal, you are told that the share that you have is the same as the share of the poor. Because it is essential for every Muslim that he has to take care of the poor and also the other people around, the relatives. So this is a reminder that a rich man or any other person who has the ability to make the sacrifice, sometimes a general person who does not even pay the zakat, he can afford an animal and can do that, but even then that person is told that he must send a share to the poor, because that is the basis of progress of a community, that you are taking care of the restlessness of others. So this is the spirit of Ruhamau Bainahum, that you are kind to each other. The poor person that you will take the meat to, you will get to know of their situation, and then you might be drawn to help them at other times as well. In Pakistan, in India, in African countries, there are a large majority of people that you send meat to, and then you do not know what was their condition. But when you make a contact with them, you come in touch with them, then you find out that this household was starving for the last 24 hours, 48 hours, or they have never seen meat for a long, long time, and only because this little bit of meat has arrived, they are making some food. Sometimes it has been the experience that the meat which is taken to a poor person's home, it is amazing the way they are looking at that food. And today in the world, when there is economic crisis, people cannot find jobs, it has become extremely difficult for a poor person to feed his family. It is reported in newspapers that sometimes people are compelled to commit suicide because of those hardships. So this Eid should draw your attention towards looking after people, and do not just restrict yourselves to sending them a gift of meat once in the year. This should be a regular looking after of the people, even if you have to make sacrifice of your own needs. But be focused on taking care of people. Resort to taqwa, love and fear of Allah. Because this is the source of taking you closer to Allah. Otherwise, Allah does not need the flesh of these animals or their blood. There are in the Jamaat those regular schemes. So I draw your attention to this scheme, that all the Ahmadis in the world who have the ability, they must remember these avenues through which they can regularly look after the poor and contribute in those schemes. Because otherwise Allah does not require the flesh and blood of those animals, and these animals cannot bring about the revolution until the rights of the people are fulfilled. Like Allah the Almighty says, لَمْ يَنَالُ اللَّهَ, that remember, Allah says, that the blood and flesh of these animals cannot reach Allah. It is the taqwa of your heart that reaches out to Allah. So this is the spirit that should be present behind our sacrifices with regards to fulfilling the rights of the creatures of Allah. I have mentioned that there are schemes in the Jamaat which are ongoing, and through that Jamaat takes care of the poor, and the members of the Jamaat should pay attention to participating in those on a regular basis. And if those rites are fulfilled, only then you know of a life, of a community. Only then you become aware that we are a community who take care of others, who fulfill the rites of others, the creatures of God. And I've only mentioned one rite. Then the greatest aim of sacrifice is to bring about that revolution which has to change the world. Otherwise, when Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had made his son ready to slaughter him, Allah the Almighty said, no, you sacrifice a ram instead of that. Now, neither that son, if he had been slaughtered like that, would have brought about a revolution, and neither that ram when it was slaughtered. The sacrifice that we are reminded of is that the believers never forget their aim. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says in this regard that the purity of hearts is the real sacrifice. Meat and blood is not real sacrifice. Like where other people make the sacrifice, the slaughter of animals, the chosen servants of Allah sacrifice their hearts. But Allah has not stopped the sacrifice of those animals, so that you will understand how the links are made. And then he says that in the Sharia of Islam, Allah the Almighty has given us the examples. So that is why the admonishment is that with all your faculties, with all your full force of yourself, you sacrifice yourself to Allah the Almighty. So the apparent sacrifices are like examples. But the real sacrifice is the sacrifice of your inner self. So this is the dictate of the Promised Messiah, Islam. So this is the spirit and soul of sacrifice which we have to instill on ourselves. Not only personally ourselves, but every member of your family, you should try that they understand the spirit. And then at community, at Jamaat level, every person should understand this. Only then all the sacrifices that we make, we find the correct direction. Only when they're all focused in that direction, then they will bring about a revolution. What is sacrifice in the way of Allah? It is to fulfill the directives of Allah. And all your faculties you use so that they are used to draw the pleasure of Allah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in a dream, as it has been mentioned, that he was sacrificing, slaughtering his son. But he did not do it until the son was able to understand it and was able to share. If at that young age, if he had butchered his son, even if he had made that slaughter in that age, human sacrifice was a concept which people fulfilled. Other fathers did that. So it would have been a sacrifice of the son of Hadhrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and nobody would have taken note. Even today, in some religions, there is the concept of human sacrifice. In some beliefs, women sacrifice themselves for the sake of their husbands. Even now, although it has become illegal in some areas amongst the Hindus, it is still practiced that the wife is burnt alive at the death of the husband. So the sacrifices which were done previously or which are done now in Africa or in some cultures, like even in Africa, there are some sacrifice concepts. Do they bring about a revolution? Or in memory of that sacrifice which is done, is there any joy which they have? No. There is only restlessness that ensues from those sacrifices if they are made. But the sacrifice made by Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hadrat Ismail alayhi salam, they bring about a zeal in the people even now, that the Holy Quran records it, that the son said, Satajiduni inshallah, inshallah min as-sabirin. What a beautiful reply. That shows perfect faith in Allah the Almighty. The son who had that beautiful understanding of Allah the Almighty, he said to his father, O my father, whatever Allah directs you, please carry that out. Inshallah, you will find me patient and amongst those who have full faith in Allah. So this was the sacrifice which the father and the son were making, that they were willing to sacrifice whatever was precious for the sake of Allah. And Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is called the father of prophets, he waited until the son was of an age when he was grown up enough to know for himself. That was not because he was hesitating himself. He only waited for that time, that what he desired to do, the son should also participate in that out of his free will. He knew that the son's reply would be positive, but he wanted to make it clear that the son also has that understanding. And the son should also share in the highest degree of goodness which the father was to derive from that, the pious act. But Allah desired something different. With that dream and vision that was shown to Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, in reality, Allah the Almighty was demonstrating that the bad practice of human sacrifice was to be stopped. Because when the son had been put down to be sacrificed, Allah the Almighty revealed to Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّيَا, that you have definitely fulfilled your vision. Now, from today, no human sacrifice will be made, no human being will be slaughtered like animals. From now, Allah the Almighty declared that it will take on a beautiful form. And to remember this, you slaughter a ram and make your sacrifice a sacrifice which has aims behind it. Allah said to him that, O Abraham, you have fulfilled your sacrifice when you left the baby with his mother in the desert, which was desolate, so that the name of Allah will spread even in desolation, even in deserts, so that not only the son, but the mother of that son will also share the rewards of that sacrifice, so that Allah will demonstrate that even those wildernesses can be turned into thriving habitation by Allah the Almighty. That was a point where it was a miracle that this family which had made that sacrifice, Allah the Almighty was then to bring about that being as a descendant of that family who was to demonstrate sacrifice of such degree which the world had never seen before and could not have seen after, because his was the best example, whose living and dying every action was for the sake of Allah the Almighty. The examples of sacrifice of wealth, of property, of time, of children, everything, whatever was given to him of wealth and property, he distributed it to the poor, the needy, immediately. And the expense he undertook for taking care for the needs of faith, there was no limit to that. There was no limit to his charity. There was no limit to what he spent to draw people closer to faith. Whole valleys filled with cattle he handed over to a person who had not even become a convert to Islam, so that the world will understand the reality of Islam. The world will understand the aim, the spirit which Islam has brought. The world can understand the reason why the Holy Prophet ﷺ had come into the world. And then the sacrifice of life. You can see that in wars, in battles, he was in areas which were the most dangerous. The companions reported that the one who was most bold, who was most brave, the one who did not care for his life, was the person who was closest to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, because he was in those areas. Of course, Allah protected him because of the promises that Allah had given him, but through his own example, he demonstrated to the companions that this is the way to offer your life. And if you have to sacrifice your life, sacrifice it for the defense of Islam. Sacrifice your life for a higher aim, because this grants eternal life. To use your life and to not think of anything of your life for the service of Islam, then there is the sacrifice of time. You study his life, every moment of his life, even while he was sleeping, every moment was used for the sake of Allah. All his time he used for other people. No moment, no single moment did he ever waste. And then sacrifice of honor. He offered his emotions, his sentiments as sacrifice, as if they were non-existent. He just trod over his own sentiments. His passions were totally compelled to submission. And then to fulfill his vision when he came to Mecca with his companions. He traveled there, and when he saw that today the requirement is that I have to sacrifice my emotions, my sentiments for the sake of Allah, he made a pact, which it seemed on the outset that it was, on the outside, that it was a humble submission. So companions like Hazrat Umar asked with passion that, O Prophet of Allah, are you not a true messenger of Allah? The tongues of the companions were dumbstruck. They were stunned. While the companions were ready to lay down their lives, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ had taken that allegiance from them at that spot, but that perfect messenger, that mountain of dignity, whose main aim was to win the pleasure of Allah and for whose sake he was ready to make every sacrifice. He understood. He knew that I am the most beloved messenger of Allah the Almighty. And this pact, which seemingly is a humiliating pact, but this is a declaration of victory behind it. So he then came out and slaughtered his animal that he was taken with him to slaughter. This is also the highest degree of example of sacrifice. And the companions, they also woke up out of that stunned state. And they then realized that this is a sacrifice holding an aim behind it. And they also made their offerings of their animals as sacrifices. So in fact, the sacrifice of Hadrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hadrat Hajra, they then brought about that Prophet of Allah in their progeny, who left an indelible example for all times to come. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin naka hamidun majid. O Allah, send your choicest blessings on this Prophet of Allah who showed us these examples, and to fulfill those standards, to reach those standards, in guiding us to those standards. These sacrifices are made today to fulfill the rights of the creatures of Allah, to fulfill the rights of Allah the Almighty. All these sacrifices are made so that we are reminded of that we are forever ready to sacrifice our life, property, time and children. That Prophet of Allah who displayed those high examples for us so that the aim of creation of man is fulfilled. The true devotee, the devoted slave of that Prophet has created a community, and we claim to be part of that community. So rise today and make that vow that to uphold the glory of Islam, to uphold the beautiful character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to fly the flag of the faith of Allah the Almighty, we will be ever ready to make every sacrifice for which Allah the Almighty has sent this Messiah in our age. For those sacrifices which hold an aim, every Ahmadi should step forward to making that pledge, to make that sacrifice, so that the flag of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will fly high over the world. In the last 120 years, you have seen the sacrifices of life, time, property, honor, sentiments. These sentiments were never lowered. Today, make the pledge that flame of sacrifice that we have, we will never let it die down in our hearts or in the hearts of our children. Our aim will be to win the pleasure of Allah, bowing to Him, seeking His help, begging for His help. We will always keep in view the conduct of our Holy Master Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Recently, I had gone to India. I was only in the south of India at that time. With the grace of Allah, the 2 weeks that I spent there were very successful. But before arriving in Qadian, the situation became such that I had to return from Delhi. And this was a very, very difficult decision I had to take. But for the betterment of the Jamaat, and then in understanding that this is the pleasure of Allah. I had to take this decision. After that, many people wrote to me. Every Ahmadi does that in different ways. Some Ahmadi wrote to me that this is like the pact of Hudaybiyah, but I do not say that. This is not my station to say that, that I can say that it applies like the pact of Hudaybiyah. This decision that we had to take, that it applies to that in any way, in shape or form. Well, everyone has their own point of understanding things. So people look for examples, and Ahmadis also look for examples. But I ask you to pray that may Allah turn it into successes for the Jamaat. Because where you want to make applications of examples, when you make applications, then you have to understand that there would be also successes of the same nature, and then people having weak faith may stumble. Allah the Almighty is the one who will then grant us whatever He needs to grant us, what He will out of His great grace grant us. He knows that at what time what is to be granted. If there is any similarity, then one should pray for that. That may Allah make it comparable. But it is quite clear that the sacrifice of sentiments and emotions made by the people of Qadian, and then the people from Pakistan who had their visas, who had made their travel arrangements, spent for that, their sacrifice is comparable. But like I have said, that at the time of the Pact of Hudaybiyah, the example set by companions, we can follow that. That at that moment in time, some people think that because of that sacrifice of their honor, they turn their attention towards prayer in humility to Allah the Almighty. Turn your cries and your anguish to Allah the Almighty with such force that Allah the Almighty will accept our humble offerings and will then turn the woes and the ills of the enemy towards them. And all the efforts that we make towards Allah will be accepted by Allah, and all the difficulties will be removed. Like a cloud of dust, they will be settled away from us. And the blessings of Allah will rain down more so than before. Oh, our gracious Lord, we are weak, we are sinners, have mercy on us forever, and offer our humble sacrifices, and continue to shower your grace upon us and your mercies and your blessings. So after that, with regards to Eid, the Ahmadis in Qadian, today's Eid was to be celebrated there, that I was to be amongst them. I offer them Eid Mubarak and my Assalamu Alaikum. Filled with love, their letters are arriving. Inshallah, Allah will grant blessings and we will have joy together. Inshallah. People of Pakistan and Rabbah, my Assalamu Alaikum and Eid Mubarak to you. I understand your pain. I understand your anguish. The time that you are going through, I have been through that time. I was in Pakistan, and today I am going through that, the higher degree. The Ahmadis of Pakistan are such that they have displayed very high standards of sacrifice continuously. They are continuously doing that. Like the Darveshes in Qadian, they did that for a very long time. They made those sacrifices. They set very high standards of sacrifice. They are still doing that. For the acceptance of those sacrifices, there is only one way. that you bow to Allah the Almighty. May Allah grant everyone the ability to do that. Ameen. All of you, you are sitting here before me. May Eid be blessed for you as well. And all the Ahmadis the world over, my assalamu alaikum to them with love. And Eid Mubarak. May Allah always keep them safe and at peace. And in times of peace as well, you continue to make assessment of your sacrifices and try to increase your standards of sacrifices so that in our lives we can see the clear victory granted by Allah the Almighty. After this, we will pray. So remember all the workers of the Jamaat, the devotees, the Waqfeen and all, all other people who make sacrifices in every shape or form. Remember them all. Remember all the members of the Jamaat. May Allah have mercy on all the members of the Jamaat.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Na'udhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.
اب دعا کر لیں.